It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us on the Ideas Network. Coming up, Apple hit the $1 trillion mark in its stock market valuation. We'll look at the rise of mega companies and their effect on the economy. First, some conservatives are criticizing the move by several social media platforms to remove content posted by inflammatory conspiracy theorist Alex Jones. He's claimed that the 9/11 attacks and the Oklahoma City bombing were inside jobs, that survivors of the high school shooting in Parkland, Florida were crisis actors, that the Sandy Hook school shooting in 2012 was a hoax, and he backed the more recent Pizzagate hoax. Jones's critics say his unproven accusation get his supporters worked up and cause them to make threats and harass and intimidate people targeted in his theories. On Sunday, Apple took down five of Jones's podcasts. By the end of Monday, Facebook, YouTube, Spotify, and LinkedIn, along with Pinterest, had removed some or all of Jones's content as well. Jones warned on his radio show yesterday that this was just the beginning.
Mainstream corporate media is fake news. They're the enemy of the American people, like the president said. And now they're coming after everybody.
Brent Bozell, founder of the Conservative Media Research Center, and Senator Ted Cruz have criticized technology companies for removing Jones's content. Mike Snyder is the tech and money reporter for USA Today. Mike, welcome to Central Time.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
Well, the shoes have been dropping one after another, it seems like. Can you talk about the different platforms that have banned or dropped or limited material coming from Alex Jones and his InfoWar website?
Well, I was asleep when a lot of this happened, thankfully, but sometime Sunday, Apple removed episodes of Jones' show and another four other InfoWars-related podcasts from its iTunes and podcast apps. And prior to that, you know, he had been on the radar of social media companies and online streaming companies like Spotify, because last week Spotify, they didn't really say how it happened, but people started realizing that Spotify had started listing more than a year's worth of Alex Jones, the Alex Jones Show, the podcast version. And for several days, people on Twitter were complaining that subscribers, at least they said they were subscribers, were complaining about Spotify hosting this material. Spotify told me that an aggregator basically automatically put it up at some point. Anyway, last week Spotify took down four episodes, and of course that the clamor increased. It's like, why did you take down four? What about the rest? So after Apple did its move, somewhere along the line, Spotify took down all of the podcasts. Also, Facebook, which has been saying it's going to increase its efforts to reduce false, misleading information news posts, had been criticized for not taking down Alex Jones and InfoWars pages. And, you know, this then finally decided to take down, you know, all the pages they had. And then also you had, YouTube, which had issued a strike against Jones previously for some videos that were up on that site, removed him and InfoWars channels too. So all of a sudden, within about less than 12 hours, it went boom, like dominoes, boom, 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 all these things happened.
What were the grounds that the social media companies gave? It sounds like they weren't focused on the fake news side of things as much.
Correct. That's right. I mean, each of them used some form of description of hate speech being in the content, and then also one of the sites I'm looking here because it does get kind of confusing. Facebook also mentioned that some of the content broke its policy against bullying. So I didn't listen to all these or watch these, so I can't tell you what hate speech was invoked that Facebook felt met that qualification, but that's what they're saying.
Can you talk about kind of the bind these various platforms have been in? They, on the one hand, have said they don't, in the past, they don't want to be policing what the content is, policing political viewpoints, but they're under a lot of pressure with this case in particular, given Sandy Hook conspiracy theories and pretty inflammatory speech coming from Alex Jones and InfoWars.
Well, Jones is on the radar for multiple reasons. I mean, I think it was earlier this year, Megyn Kelly did an interview with him as one of her first live, or not live, but one of her first profile interviews she did when she took her show over. May have been last fall, I forget. So people started getting to know more mainstream people got to know who Alex Jones was. Now you're also seeing some court cases, action is happening where you're getting coverage of court cases where Sandy Hook families and a police officer who was involved in that event at the elementary school, the shooting at the elementary school, has sued Jones and InfoWars and the parent company, I forget the exact name, basically for saying, you know, he was passing along a conspiracy theory that that the Sandy Hook event actually didn't happen, and these were child actors and child, you know, everybody was acting this out to try to, you know, I guess in some effect to manipulate the political discussion about gun control. Meanwhile, you have Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, which were manipulated to some extent during the 2016 presidential campaign with, you know, fake Russian accounts that were like on Facebook, you know, actually creating events that fake events that people would go to, and they were actually, you know, putting out information on both sides of an issue. So you might have people coming in favor of an event, you know, of an issue at this event, but then you would have the alternate side, which was against whatever this issue or candidate might be coming to this event. So you had what they were doing was, you know, basically fomenting public discord, you know, in the United States. So all these outlets are under, you know, extreme scrutiny right now. They also don't, you know, we have such a politicized environment. They don't want to be seen as favoring liberal or right. So they've treaded very carefully. Now, I guess at some point, I don't know if all the lawyers got together over the weekend and said, you know, well, here's our stance and what we could do, and boom, 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 this stuff happened. But they're making a stand, at least, on what Jones was selling.
Talking to Mike Snyder, tech and money reporter for USA Today, about a bunch of online platforms dropping most or all content from Alex Jones and his InfoWars website. Twitter, one website, one social media source that has not done this. And there are a lot of debates among Twitter users about the presence of Nazis and right-wing bullying on the website. That is one platform that doesn't seem to have made a change here.
At this point, no. I mean, I think I've been talking to some experts for a follow-up story about, you know, about the First Amendment and free speech and all that, and they're telling me that, you know, Twitter is trying to take things a slightly differently because it is almost a public commons of commenting on things where you can kind of get away from it if you want to, and they have a different kind of standard where if you start threatening someone or personally, that's where Twitter gets riled up and comes, you know, maybe has to take some action. But if you're just talking about hateful speech in general, you know, they have kind of let it go. That's the way I understand it at this point.
Looking at a lot of these sites, it seems like there's a tension between, okay, just about anything goes short of threatening behavior in that case. But on the other hand, is our brand tainted by us hosting particular viewpoints that are particularly odious? And is that maybe going to start to change toward that latter point? Our brands are in danger if we're associated with things like Alex Jones?
Well, I think that's probably one aspect that led to the events of this week. While Alex Jones may have a rabid following that brought people to Facebook and YouTube and possibly Spotify. I mean, you know, Spotify, he has millions of listeners without Spotify, but, you know, I'm sure a lot of people pass things along. That's the value of Facebook. It's easy to pass things along to your friends versus, you know, going to the InfoWars site. But, you know, while he has an audience, I think it looks like Facebook decided the value of that audience is not worth the value of disrupting and upsetting the rest of its audience. whether we'll have a discussion, you know, whether Congress or someone, you know, some body will, you know, bring up this idea of, you know, when, you know, have these companies acted properly at this point, or do they need to be new rules for engagement because they have such a foothold in our public discourse? I could foresee that coming down the road. But right now it seems like, you know, I think they're following the legal rules they need to, but they may rethink how to do it, you know, more transparently in the future.
I know you've been watching some of the reaction on this story. What are you watching for next? Because this is all still pretty fresh news.
Well, you know, it's one of those things where what you think might be next, you know, will surprise you, and it won't be anything about what you think next. I was asking, of course, the first thing I thought was someone would there be a lawsuit? But the experts that I've talked to so far think that these companies are well within the rights the way they did things. Now, will there be some kind of is there any way to do a public, you know, exit, you know, people that really wanted, you know, their followers of Jones, you know, if they did some kind of a public exodus from Facebook or something, would that gather attention? These are, if you have people who are followers of a, whatever side, whether you want to say ultra-liberal, ultra-conservative, far-right, far-left, you know, these people are very engaged, and I can't foresee either side very often just letting things drop. You know, you almost think they're planning something to respond, because that's kind of why that's why there is an ultra and a far spectrum of this, of our political discourse at this point.
We'll leave it there for now. Mike, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me.
Mike Snyder is the tech and money reporter for USA Today. We talked with him about the decision by Apple, Facebook, Spotify, and YouTube to remove content by conspiracy theorist Alex Jones.